Sustain 267.
Welcome to the Sustain 267 podcast. I'm your host, Batekile Sitse. In this week's episode, we'll be speaking to Mr. Balisi Hopolang, who is the Chief Meteorologist at the Department of Meteorological Services at the Ministry of Environment, Natural Resource Conservation and Tourism in Botswana. In our conversation today, we will be talking about climate change in the Botswana context. What is it? How does it affect us? What is being done? What can we do to help address it as Botswana? Mr. Hopolang, thank you for joining me. How are you holding up?
I'm good, Butler. Trying to survive, trying to cope with the situation at hand.
For those who are listening in, maybe at a later date. So we in Botswana are on day 10 of extreme social distancing. But moving on to today's conversation, this is the very first full episode of the podcast, and I thought we'd start with the basics, starting with the most basic question: what is climate change? In three sentences, what would you say is climate change is?
It's very difficult to simplify climate change. Let me start by just defining, you know, when we talk about the weather forecast, the weather for today and tomorrow, you know, we define that looking at certain parameters, whether it's rainy or not, whether it's cloudy or not, basically just like what will come out in a weather forecast. So that will become the weather for the day. But now, over a long period of time, when you accumulate, when you aggregate those weather elements, you come with what is called climate. So what will therefore define the climate of Botswana? You could easily say our summers are hot and wet, while our winters are cool and dry. Lastly, when you talk of climate change, it's like these parameters are seen to be changing. In our context, it has become warmer or hotter, and rainfall has become more very unreliable.
Okay, so seeing as the climate is now changing, how does that then affect us? What does that mean for our quality of life?
How this affects us is that if you look at certain sectors of our economy or just the traditional Botswana life, whereby come October, people start tilling the fields to prepare for the plowing season, it's that with less rainfall, because our agriculture is rain-fed, because of less rainfall and increased temperature, agriculture has become less productive than it used to be in the past. So similarly, the rainy land, where we graze our cattle, where the wildlife, you know, thrives and you know, calves and does all that, they've become very less productive, to a point that so the rangeland is not sustaining enough cattle, so there isn't enough grazing. And similarly, wildlife, there isn't enough of that. And even worse, you know, parasites and pests that need warmer temperatures, we are seeing a manifestation of them, quite an increase of them. Another good sector that is also being affected with less rainfall, there obviously is not going to be enough water. And with less water, we're going to have a more drought situation, less water for drinking, less water for watering our animals. And so it's going to get drier. We're going to see deforestation. We're going to see, you know, forests disappear. You know, the tourism, another insect, and the bird life, which is actually our tourism, is going to obviously suffer, because with less rangeland, less forest, less water, there isn't going to be enough. So obviously that will economically affect us in one or the other, because there'll be no income from those sectors of our economy to sustain jobs, to sustain life for Botswana.
I guess it'll make life harder. However,
it makes life harder for people.
Yeah. So even if you're not as directly impacted, to some degree, your life will be made harder. Maybe not necessarily as hard as someone who's farming directly, but the fact that all of a sudden I can't get tomatoes. And then the next thing I wanted us to look at was COP, so Conference of Party. I know you were head of delegation, I think, a year or two ago. What is COP?
And its relation to the United Nations and us as Botswana, and the role it plays.
Because I know every November, December, it is all over our news.
Maybe before I even get to COP, we first have to understand that climate change is a problem. It is a challenge to development. It's a developmental challenge. So now the United Nations, well, including Botswana, came up or adopted a convention, which is referred to as the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Mm-hmm. This is a convention that was acknowledging that climate change is a problem, and then they had to find ways to address it. Before I even get to what the COP is, well, the convention has an objective of ensuring that, you know, we stabilize the climate change causing greenhouse gases. Remember, because these are caused by greenhouse gases. This is accumulation in the atmosphere.
If I can just interject there, for the benefit of those who might not know what greenhouse gases are, would you mind going into a bit of detail on what they are?
So the greenhouse gases here, these are gases that are emitted from combustion, like carbon dioxide from since when we burn fossil fuels and hydrocarbons, like what petrol,
activities like driving and the sort.
Generating power from coal, yeah. So when you burn these gases, you produce, you know, gases that when they go into the atmosphere, they trap radiation from, you know, the sun, you know, because they encircle the earth, and then you find that the shortwave radiation from the sun hits the earth, and when it's reflected back into space, as long wave is trapped by the...
They now act as a blanket to keep in the heat.
As a blanket, exactly. And then the re-radiated energy is re-radiated back to Earth, which means creating a temperature increase generally over a period of time.
Correct.
So it was on that understanding that the convention was adopted, and with a objective to stabilize these gases on a set level, because, you know, right from the Industrial Revolution, when we're developing, we discovered these, so we're burning them. So they tend to stay long in that. Yeah. So now, the second part of the objective of the convention is now to ensure that the ecosystem adapts naturally when we stabilize these gases, and also that we should not compromise food production in any other. So our agricultural practices should be found. And last but not least, that we develop in a sustainable manner. You know, that development should follow a sustainable path. So which means now it acknowledges the fact that climate change is a development challenge. And now the convention has a series of meetings, but it meets once a year where the parties or members to the convention that are Botswana is also a member, because once you ratify, you call the party, you become a member. So now you attend this conference of the parties as a member. You can go as an observer, but it's nice when you're a member. So now they meet every year to take stock on the implementation of the convention, because certain instruments are adopted from time to time, like there was a Kyoto, then there's what the Paris. So which are just enabling instruments to make sure that the convention is adequately implemented. So now the COP is the supreme decision-making body of the convention, which is attended every year or whenever. It may have it maybe every year, it can be repeated if decisions are not met.
I heard that this year's one has been cancelled, the one that was going to be hosted in Scotland, I think. Well, postponed.
It's unfortunate. It's not cancelled, it's postponed because of the current, you know, coronavirus pandemic, which has actually engulfed, you know, hit us here on Earth.
You're still telling me about COP. I think now if we could maybe lean towards the national determined contributions.
Yeah. No, just like saying the COP is the supreme, you know, decision-making body of the convention where decisions are tabled and made. And then out of that is COP decisions which have to be implemented to ensure that the convention gets adequate attention and implementation. Now getting to the NDC, like you rightly pointed, our NDCs, these are nationally determined contributions or pledges that countries made to help address climate change problems. The idea of NDC was actually agreed in before we went to Paris, so that when parties were going to Paris, they had to submit prior to going to the Paris conference, which is in 2015. They submitted their pledges on how they can collectively address climate change, how they can individually rather address climate change. And then this NDC, this was both to be on the mitigation side and on the adaptation side. So now, countries, including Botswana, did submit their NDCs where they were pledging to reduce. So these reductions were going to be analyzed and aggregated to see sort of the impact it will have. So now then going to Paris, our INDC, then it was still an intended, nationally determined contribution, which became nationally determined contribution after the adoption of the Paris Agreement and the ratification. Okay. So we made a submission. So in this submissions, basically what parties were doing were just to identify the sort of projects that will help them reduce emissions, that is mitigate. It could be like in introduction of renewable energy sources like solar, you know, wind, hydro where possible, and also the sort of practices in the energy sector that could make sure you reduce your emissions. And we're just putting all these things on, you know, in our list to show that we put that. So similar education on how we can address climate from the adaptation side. So all these now, we're coming up with figures like countries will reduce by a certain percentage of the total emissions within a given time frame. And then this became part of the Paris package that came out in 2015.
Let me come in here. I know I was, as Botswana was, we will reduce our emissions by 15% by 2030 using 2010 as a base year. Is that still our NDC, or have we since revised it?
And no, we have not revised it as yet, but we will be revising. Yes, we had said, well, come 2030, we'll make a commit, we'll reduce by 15% from 2030 going forward, because you see, we have to look at the reference point of 2010. Then 2030, that's when we'll try to make sure that we come up with, introduce some measures that could make sure that we start reducing our growth by, you know, 15% from there onwards. But so, that obviously is subject to availability of resources to do so, because we had put in our that our ability to make, to meet those pledges was incumbent on provisional support.
Right now it's 2020. The base year was 2010. Mm. 2030 is 10 years, well, in 10 years. So we are smack in the middle. How far along are we with realizing our 15% with the resources being availed? Does it look like we'll be meeting our 15%?
No, let me make this clear, Patho. There's a bit of a confusion here. Mm. It's not like if our emission was X in 2010, that we are going by 2030 will be X minus 15. No, we're just going to say we'll start monitoring from 2010 our growth, our data set, so that, you know, we grow. Our emissions are obviously going to grow as we develop, so that now when we get to 2030, we are going to look at how the growth has been. And then now from 2030, our growth does not continue going up as the same trend from 2010. It's just going to throw in some policy, some measures and actions there that will slow our growth from 2030 onwards by 15%, not 2010. Because if we're going to go 2010, then we'll be going back in development. It was just a reference point to look at as we move forward.
So between 2010 and 2030, in our growth year, we're basically in the observation period.
Between 2010 and 2030, we are growing. We are developing.
We are growing. So that we are growing, developing, and
we have security of supply. Developing and observing so that we have a security of supply of energy. Then 2030, now that's when we're going to say, okay, now from here, now our growth, we have to make sure that our growth, we are going to like slow it by 15% from wherever we will be by 2030, not where we were in 2010.
So in light of what you just shared on COP and what it is, as we look at development and observation and the road to 2013, how are we then ensuring sustainable growth so that when we do reduce by 15%, we're not reducing from high level?
No, what you appreciate, but there's so much happening here in the country. We have been coming up with policies. I'll probably talk to later. We are coming up with policies. Our energy sector is, if you have been watching the news, even this morning there was something on tele, you know, the Honorable Minister was talking about issues of encouraging other options of energy, you know, revising energy policies.
Let's start by
Yeah, you see, we can. We're coming with solar. Solar has been promoted as an option because we have lots of it in the country. We have gotten to. You cannot just shift and change. There's certain things that have bogged because we still need to develop. If issues of, you know, the petroleum products. We have been changing from more leaded to unleaded. What we've seen on to revise you or change some of this. This is just like to reduce emissions as we move forward. But you know, our policies that we are putting in place on energy policy, both some regulations and guidelines, and I cannot talk much to that because it's a different area of energy, but I want you at some point talk to the energy people and see how what they're doing. But I know there's so much happening, the interventions that they're doing, and you are seeing Korean issues of climate change that are becoming part of the planning process. We have a draft policy, you know, that part of the planning process, NDP, climate change, so you see we are slowly bringing this thing to create an enabling environment that to ensure that it doesn't really choke us as we move forward to do that. But once our policies are implemented, they will enable us reach some of these pledges that we have told the world that we'll do going forward, so that to see whether are we upping, revising them upwards, or we have maintained the 15%.
Now that you've mentioned the policies, actually, let me then bring that up. How far are we with our climate change response policy? I think there was a time many years ago where I came across the draft online.
No. The climate change policies, we have a draft policy. It's available now. It's actually undergoing some approval process. And I think by mid this year, if it wasn't for the coronavirus pandemic, you know, we could maybe finalize it earlier. But it's at an advanced stage that maybe by mid-year we're going to have the policy approved, formally approved. And then we have also prepared, you know, a draft strategy. So you can see there's so much happening, you know, that it could have been approved last year, but there was a lot of agenda was tight for decision making. So I think this year going forward, we see space for that to be approved. Mm.
Seeing as you've been working on the policy and you've contributed to the policy and are privy to what's in it, what would you say we can look forward to in the policy? Like if you were to just like a little teaser, this is what's in the policy.
Well, our policy was prepared by thorough consultations. We got the views from the people. We used the traditional consultative process where we go out there, we get views of the people, and then issues are developed, and then we see how we're going to implement. But in a nutshell, our policy does talk to issues of climate change. Remember, its objective is to mainstream climate change in development. So it talks to adaptation issues. It talks to mitigation issues. It also talks to resource mobilization issues. It also brings people on board, key players that you otherwise maybe not think. It brings in the civil society. It brings in the private sector. It brings in, private sector, civil society, and NGOs, because we are creating an enabling environment as government. But when it comes to implementation, we have to reach out to those people. We had to prepare. We went out to those people so that it doesn't come as a shock to say, "What is this?" You know, so that for the buy-in, they were involved from day one, and they can still be involved. So there's that kind of ownership, and then the strategy will be attached to those things, to issues as well. You know, the issue of technology transfer policy that are provided for. Because when you develop, you need some of those interventions, some of those tools that can make you move forward. But it's well written, and I'm quite optimistic that going forward, you know, the future is quite, you know, looking bright.
So you touched on that it'll involve individuals and CSOs and NGOs. When we look at the SDGs, I'm surprised that it's only coming up so late in the conversation. So the Sustainable Development Goals, the one that we're addressing today is Goal 13, which is climate action. And I know there are certain impact areas that are measured for the country. And I was recently at a conference locally meaning in Gaborone, where they spoke about failure to measure what's being implemented and to measure impact. Mm-hmm. And then what I was then thinking was, I know a number of individuals, I know a number of NGOs and CSOs that are doing action in terms of climate action, putting together activities towards reducing emissions or encouraging people to live more environmentally sustainable lives. And both of them are working independent of government. How can they then be brought to the table with government so that the impact that they are creating can be included when government measures progress and measures impact and puts together their SDG report, and that work is put in under the SDG 13. How can they contribute towards the realizing of successful climate action?
Thanks for that. I mean, like I did mention earlier on, that climate change is a development issue. And obviously, when you talk of sustainable development goals, there are 17 of them. They talk to various areas. And the fact that climate change is a challenge that is actually cutting across, it's cross-cutting in nature and affecting various sectors of the economy. It is therefore imperative that addressing climate change, or rather, as Goal 13 says, you know, taking urgent action to combat climate change and its impact, it requires a collective effort. And in this regard, developing climate change policy, which was also involving a lot of people in this development, and it will involve a lot of people in its implementation. And also when we were developing our NDCs, we were looking across the wide spectrum. We did not just do it as the ministry alone. We went to various stakeholders, transport, energy, you know, involve them. And the CSO and NGO involvement is just like a way that we are bringing everybody together so that, you know, we work as a collective, we work as a team. And therefore, this actually goes back now to say, by bringing everybody together from various thematic areas, from various sectors of the economy, we are basically fulfilling Goal 13 of the SDGs, which says taking urgent action, because urgent action cannot just be taken at the department or at the Ministry of Environment alone. The fact that some of our efforts that agriculture is talking about adaptation, now we can see Honale, you know, there's so many schemes for agriculture that are addressing adaptation, that so many schemes for energy that are addressing mitigation, for transport that are addressing mitigation. These are just the collective, you know, of ensuring that when we address SDG 13, we have looked at those other players and how they can contribute to the whole process. And I want to believe that we are doing well in that regard. Even the reports, when you talk of the Sustainable Development Goal reports, you know, that bring all the things together.
So let's say, for example, there is a cleanup campaign I know of that happens in Maung. The first one was Clean Up the Beach. If they want for their efforts to count towards the bigger picture, how would then they then declare to whether it's the Department of Meteorological Services, whether it's the Ministry of Environment, how would they then declare to them that, listen, this is what we're doing in our corner. So as you are bringing in everything that's being done by other ministries and that's being done by other people, this is, here's our action that you can count, or here's our, just so that in owning the SDG 13 or with the policy coming up, if someone was to start something triggered by the policy, how can they then say, from owning the issue at hand, this is what I've done, and how can they make that count?
So now it will depend on when they go to clean up campaign near a particular locality. You see, it obviously may be going to clean cities or something, but when they report under that particular thematic, basically now we report under ours. So when we go as a team talking to SDGs, because that is coordinated elsewhere, where we also come in as being invited to talk about climate change under SDGs as a nation, have reporting structures that go to that reporting framework yet on. But we work as a team.
You find the ministry that then falls under, and then you declare your action to that ministry so that it's counted. Because there is the idea of if it's not counted, it doesn't count. Got it. And then I think in closing, if there was one thing from our 30-minute interview, if there was one thing that you wish someone would take away from it, what would it be, if nothing else?
One thing that I would like you to take away from this, let me first start by commending you for this initiative. It's a noble initiative that, you see, awareness. You know, we have to make sure that people are informed about the challenges that they have and which climate change is one. And we want to see more people involved and participate to ensure that the issues of climate change, we leave no one behind, basically. So because climate change affects us all.
Okay. So everyone must act because climate change affects us all. Mr. Belisi Ropolang, thank you so much for making time to speak to me.
Butler, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Nice talking to you.
This was our very first episode of Sustain 267. We shall be posting new episodes every Wednesday, exploring climate change in Botswana. Thank you so much for listening. I was your host, Bata Kilisite, and the sound engineer is Maleho. Like our Facebook page, Sustain 267. Share your thoughts, feedback, or any recommendations you may have on how we can improve the show, topics you'd like to know more on. Until next week, let's help our government flatten the COVID-19 curve by staying home and following recommendations as per World Health Organization. Take care.
Sustain 267.